felony versus Angle, zoning administrator, et cetera, and another, Mark E. Overchain, Justin M. Wolcott, Helen Council, Victor M. Santos, John C. Ford, Kelly Council.
You may proceed.
May it please the court, Mark Overchain for the appellant Deborah Chilton Bellany. This case is important because it has the potential to define how a zoning administrator goes about enforcing zoning ordinances, perhaps in a way that prevents property owners from securing relief from zoning ordinances as is defined by the General Assembly. We have a process that allows a property owner in violation of a zoning ordinance to go to the Board of Zoning Appeals in order to secure a variance. A circuit court does not have the power to grant a variance. Now, in this case, what happened was Mrs. Bellany, back in 2006, built a wall in front of her property. City gave her permission to do it. The zoning administrator's official or subordinate came out to the property, told her, you can build it that way, testified in later proceedings. I intended for her to rely on that. She built it just like she said she was going to build it. But at the end of the construction, the zoning administrator sent a notice and said, wait a second, this does violate the zoning ordinances, you have to tear it down. And back in 2007, she and her now deceased husband filed an appeal from that to the Board of Zoning Appeals, seeking a variance. And the Board of Zoning Appeals thought it was a good idea to grant the variance, granted it, notwithstanding the fact that authority of this court said the deprivation, the hardship on a property owner necessary to justify a variance has to be so significant as to have constitutional dimensions. It had to, and in the words of the statute authorizing the grant of variances, it had to approach confiscation, which was the basis for the ruling that, in the Cochran case, that it had to approach constitutional dimensions. In the Martin case decided just 3 years ago, Justice McClanahan wrote that there's nothing in the Constitution or the laws of Virginia that prohibit us from reducing that burden and allowing variances in cases in which the deprivation is less. And in fact, in 2009, the General Assembly did amend the statute, remove the language saying that a hardship has to approach deprivation.
But as a general rule, though, as a general rule, a change of law is not thought of as a change of circumstances breaking the effect of res judicata.
Well, there you have the issue of whether res judicata even applies in this circumstance. In Cochran, this court said that a grant of a variance is purely an administrative act.
But what do we do about the circuit court's order in 2009? Isn't that a judicial order that would otherwise trigger res judicata protection?
Now, courts have authority to review administrative decisions all the time. If they are reviewed for abuse of discretion, that doesn't convert the underlying grant of variance into a res judicata issue. And
didn't that order in effect say that the BZA acted outside of its authority by granting that variance?
It did.
Well, let me move on to the next point. Then what happens to that finding of violation that the zoning administrator made that started this whole process?
Well, that's a great question. Back in 2009, we wouldn't be here if the city had done something, had asked for an injunction at that point in time. The city didn't do anything. And granted, the Bellanys didn't do anything either. But three years passed, and in 2011, the city filed criminal charges against the Bellanys. And that was defended, and the general district court said, statute of limitations prohibits you from doing that, and dismissed it. And the Balinese thought, well, thank goodness this is finally over with. And it was over with until a truck ran into the wall in 2013, and the zoning administrator sent her another letter and said, if you rebuild the wall, that'll be a new violation of our zoning ordinances. And later they decided that, wait a second, the wall still violates our zoning ordinances. We want you to tear it down.
May I interrupt you there? Well, rebuilding the hole in the wall would be a new violation because you're doing something new, but everything that wasn't destroyed is not a new violation. It's the same violation from 2009.
Well, and I understand the city's position. So what Mrs. Bellany did was, in response to that, she asked the city to give her a variance and said, the law has changed, I have suffered a hardship, plus the city has sat on its rights, hasn't done anything, and I relied upon the city's inaction following the criminal prosecution, and I want a variance that I would be entitled to now under the existing law. The zoning administrator didn't do anything except hired counsel and filed suit seeking an injunction requiring the taking down the wall.
May I ask you this? Originally, the litigation was that you filed a mandamus to try to move forward with the variance and get a ruling on that. But later, the BZA convenes, and their ruling, if we want to call it that, was, well, res judicata applies. So originally, you're trying to get them to move to get action. Well, you get the action, but it's essentially this legal ruling that res judicata applies. So you got the circuit court and the BZA on parallel tracks. Sort of unusual, and so I'm trying to figure out where that leaves us.
Well, let me back up and put this in a chronological context. What happened was Mrs. Bellany filed for a variance, asked the zoning administrator to give her a variance. Zoning administrator said, I can't do it. So she files an appeal to the Board of Zoning Appeals. Following that, no hearing is held. The city files an injunction action in circuit court asking the court to rule the wall has to come down. We filed a motion for a stay, said, wait a second, we are entitled to a hearing in the Board of Zoning Appeals. The city filed a res judicata plea and said, no, you're not. Circuit Court, please rule as a matter of law that res judicata applies and you have jurisdiction and the Board of Zoning Appeals does not. And the Circuit Court said res judicata applies. And so as a consequence, the proceedings really all involved the injunction proceedings. And the city has taken the position that res judicata barred the Board of Zoning Appeals. And when the Board of Zoning Appeals convened a meeting, the city's attorney attended that meeting, or the zoning administrator's attorney attended the meeting, showed them the circuit court order, and the zoning or the Board of Zoning Appeals said, I don't think we can do anything. I didn't approve a variance, didn't deny a variance, did absolutely
nothing. So if I agree with you on the inapplicability of res judicata, the answer would be remanded to circuit court, and then that would give the freedom to the BZA to do whatever it's going to do.
No, I would respectfully submit that the remedy would be to reverse and dismiss, because what happened in this case is the city took it one step further. And to demonstrate its purpose of avoiding the prospect of the grant of a variance, it did not introduce any evidence of what happened back in 2007, 2008, 2009, didn't introduce in the proceeding, in the trial, didn't introduce the trial court's ruling from 2007, did not introduce any finding from the zoning administrator back from 2007, ruling by the trial court was in January 2009.
But there was testimony to that effect, right? I mean, the order itself may not have been introduced, but the zoning folks all came in and testified to what happened.
They did, and the city put on surveys and testimony designed to prove in court that, in fact, the wall violates the zoning ordinance. It's essentially turning the circuit court into a super zoning administrator.
Well, let me back up a second. Your idea is to reverse and dismiss. How does that work? Because there's never been a variance granted by the BZA.
Well, what I would say is that the city jumped the gun. The city should not have been permitted to ask the court, circuit court, to act as a super zoning administrator, as a court of original jurisdiction to determine whether a zoning violation actually took place, which was exactly what they did. That is the province of the zoning administrator.
But we still know that the zoning violation exists back from 2007 or 2009. It's never gone away.
Well, and if the court, and if the, it is, if it is the desire of the court to send it back, the zoning Board of Zoning Appeals has at least back in 2008 indicated a belief that this constitutes a significant hardship, and perhaps
well, let
they
me ask
would
you
do
about
so
this.
Again.
You decided not to appeal the BZA decision to rely upon the circuit court. Instead, you did this writ of mandamus, but you didn't serve the BZA.
Well, what I would respectfully submit, and that's right. First of all, the Board of Zoning Appeals never made a determination at all. It didn't grant it, didn't deny it, did absolutely nothing. Second of all, I would respectfully submit that the proceedings are self-contained in the injunction proceeding. The city asked the circuit court to issue an order that res judicata would bar the Board of Zoning Appeals. The city is now suggesting that that we should have gone to the Board of Zoning Appeals, gotten a ruling, appealed that res judicata ruling back to the same judge who had already issued a ruling saying that res judicata prohibited the Board of Zoning Appeals from taking it up in the first place. The circuit court ruled in the injunction action, it doesn't matter. You're not permitted to go to the Board of Zoning Appeals because res judicata applies. And I respectfully submit that's not the case. Look at State Corporation Commission proceedings. Those are uniquely administrative proceedings. And this court has held that res judicata does not prohibit relitigation under situations in which circumstances have changed.
Counsel, if you've answered that, let me ask a question about your requested relief, reverse and dismiss. If we reverse and dismiss, doesn't that leave the 2007 violation in place? How does?
What I would submit is that there's got to be an end to this at some point. The city has litigated this in 2007, 2008. They filed criminal charges in 2013. Now they have come back and 8 years after the fact filed for injunctive relief. Enough is enough. And if it is dismissed with prejudice because the city went to the circuit court, as court of original jurisdiction, to decide whether a zoning violation occurred, they may say that you're relying on a technicality. Well, the city relied on a technicality in saying, we're really sorry that our zoning official told you you could build this wall. But in fact, you're stuck with the ruling notwithstanding that. I mean, it's undisputed that the zoning official, that the building official told them you could build this wall. There's no permit that's available. No application. There's no written process for seeking this permission. There's no permit that's issued. And they ask these questions.
Well, Counsel, let me interrupt you one more time. I'm sorry. But doesn't that fact that the zoning official actually authorized the plans really only go to the fact that you usually can't get a variance if it's a self-inflicted injury? Doesn't it really your defense what, that it is a self-inflicted injury, but you did it because you were acting in reliance upon the zoning official?
Well, and that we'd be entitled to a variance because enforcing that zoning ordinance would work an undue hardship.
Well, that's still up to the BZA. They would consider that, and your argument is they would have the authority to do that.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. Thank you.
Counsel, I've got one question. In the city's brief filed with us, they make the point that the language of the 2009 amendment approaching confiscation does not have retroactive effect. They would assert that you were attempting to apply it retroactively in this particular case. Your reply brief doesn't respond to that point. Would you want to respond today?
Well, what I would say is that at any point in time, under the then existing zoning ordinances and the law of Virginia pertaining to the issuance of variance, property owner can claim, can assert that it is an undue hardship. It doesn't retroactively apply, but the undue hardship is making them tear down a wall in 2010 or 2017 that they built with permission from a city official.
Thank you.
Thank you.
May it please the court, I'm John Wirth from the law firm Nelson McPherson, Summers & Santos in Stanton. I'm here for the zoning administrator of the city of Stanton and for the city of Stanton itself. This case concerns an effort by the zoning administrator of the city of Stanton to enforce the city's longstanding and clear zoning ordinances, same ordinances by which all residents of the city are expected to abide. Those ordinances are not technicalities. Those are duly adopted ordinances by the people of the city of Stanton.
But then why in 2009, when you won the case in the circuit court and there was no appeal,
yes, sir,
did the city turn around and file misdemeanor charges against them? Why didn't they just file their motion to enjoin then? Or at least go to the other side and say, look, you lost, okay? You lost. You've got to tear the thing down. If you don't, we'll have to file a darn injunction proceeding. But to sit on it and sit on it and throw out a misdemeanor charge that's obviously violated the statute of limitations and then come in 2014, it doesn't seem like the high horse of we got to enforce the law is really the motivating thing, at least in the smoke that I see behind this fire.
Your Honor, we would respectfully submit that the city tried to make efforts to avoid this long process that we're undergoing right now. Although it had the right at that time to pursue an injunction, it did not seek to do so because it sought Ms. Bellamy's compliance with the duly determined order of the Circuit Court of the City of Stanton.
So between 2009, when you won your case, and 2014, when you filed the injunction suit, you were engaged in the process of trying to reconcile this dispute?
There was a good deal of that, Your Honor, and there are various letters that are found in the record, letters from the zoning administrator to either Ms. Bellamy or to her counsel in order to try to result in or obtain her compliance with not only the ordinances, but the ruling of the circuit court. The city did pursue a misdemeanor charge because of the way the charge was issued. It was determined to be dismissed pursuant to the statute of limitations. But the city throughout that time did have the right to pursue an injunction, and it was only after Ms. Bellamy steadfastly refused to comply with the law that we were left with the position that we're in today.
Counsel?
Yes, sir.
You know, looking at, as your opposing counsel did, at the whole scope of this, originally the city said, yeah, go ahead and build a wall. Well, we understand you need a wall, nice wall. And then ultimately the only reason that the wall was ordered to come down was because of our decision in Cochrane. We are never the final word on a statute. Ultimately, the General Assembly can do what they want, and the General Assembly very clearly said Cochrane is that this court went too far in Cochrane with the approaching confiscation language. Why doesn't that end it? I've read your retroactive application argument, and I'm just it hasn't convinced me.
Okay.
That when the General Assembly said in 2009 that statute doesn't mean approaching confiscation, that's the way it ought to be when it comes to us in 2017.
Your Honor, there were a number of substantive problems with the petition for the variance. In the first place, it should be observed that decision as to the variance was decided conclusively by the circuit court in 2009. We would submit that there's no law that has been presented. In fact, we believe we presented law to the contrary, and the circuit court judge, in ruling on the motion for stay, referenced a court of appeals decision to the effect that a change in the law does not affect res judicata.
Well, the U.S. Supreme Court has held as much as well.
Indeed, Judge, and we cited such a case in our brief there also. Even if the BZA were to substantively take up the issue of a variance at this time, the result would be inescapable that no variance could be granted because it was a hardship that the property owner brought upon herself.
Assuming that language did not bar her, the argument is that this is an administrative decision by the BZA. The law has changed. Why couldn't she go back to the BZA and say the law has changed, assuming the law did allow the wall to be constructed and or maintained? Why wouldn't that be a new administrative issue before the BZA?
Because, Your Honor, we would submit that there are good policy reasons behind the legal doctrine of res judicata. It brings conclusion to a matter. We have here essentially the same wall. And throughout this case...
So if the law changed and everyone around her could build the exact same wall under the existing law, she could not go to the BZA and say, my neighbors all have this wall, may I keep my wall?
We do believe that the city could change its ordinances in such a way that would permit...
Now, but suppose she has a neighbor who asks for a variance and says, look, there's all this traffic and pollution and noise, let me build a wall. And the BZA says, you know, it's a more diluted standard now. That makes sense. Let's do that. She would be foreclosed, right?
Yes, sir.
But the neighbor could get it.
She would be foreclosed with respect to that existing wall.
Well, let me go one step further then. Let's say she takes the wall down and wants to build a new wall. She'd be entitled to the variance.
She applies for a new wall with different characteristics.
Same characteristics, but the law changed. So the BZA says, okay, yeah, we have the authority now to grant that. I know the law does not always make sense, but to knock down a wall and then put the same wall back up makes even less sense than usual.
Sometimes, I guess the old saying is hard cases make bad law. And so in this circumstance, there are good reasons behind the doctrine of res judicata.
All right, help me understand what those good reasons are, because it's a judicially created doctrine.
Yes, sir.
I noticed there's abundant case law on factual changes allow someone to seek a variance who didn't receive one originally. I couldn't find much law, neither could you, I guess, on a legal change. And so what are the policy reasons for foreclosing someone who says, look, the standard is much more forgiving now, let me get a variance?
Well, Judge, the same sort of policy reasons behind any kind of application of res judicata in an adjudicatory context. We would submit that it's very clear that what happened here, when the BZA does pass upon a variance, it is acting in an adjudicatory capacity, much as a court acts in an adjudicatory.
Have we ever held that? Have we ever held that res judicata applies to a zoning decision, even by a zoning decision by a governing body or a BZA?
The court has spoken about this in the context of in Gwynne v. Alward and Gwynne v. Collier. These are in the context of actually an action by a zoning administrator that was not appealed. And these are in these cases where the court finds that it was a thing decided. That is analogous to the same issue with res judicata. There, in Gwynne v. Alward, there was a trash hauling permit. The zoning administrator had denied that. There was not an appeal
taken.
But if I'm right, those cases aren't really applying the doctrine as we have crafted it very carefully of res judicata.
Yes, sir.
So, I mean, the flaw, I think, that you're hearing in these questions is you're assuming that if there were no 2009 judicial order by a court, a circuit court, that res judicata would still apply. But if you're wrong on that, every single one of the hypotheticals goes in the direction of what does make sense. Well, of course there's changed circumstances, and of course the administrative body can reconsider if the law has been changed. It's just when res judicata kicks in to a judicial decision where the law is not a changed circumstances.
Your Honor, we would submit that whenever there is an adjudication that the principle of res judicata could be applied.
Yeah, what I'm trying to say to you is you're arguing for something that you don't need to argue, and you're probably wrong on, because you have a 2009 circuit court order. It
yes,
doesn't
sir.
Matter whether or not BZAs yes, do or don't get res judicata effect.
Judge, we would note not only that we have a 2009 circuit court order, but it was an unappealed 2009.
Right.
So Go ahead, Justice Kelsey. Does it matter that what the court said in 2009 was you didn't apply the right standard, and so therefore this variance fails? Basically, that's what they said.
The court held that the Board of Zoning Appeals
didn't follow the correct standard.
That there was no showing of the requirements necessary for a variance.
Right. The board, apparently they said, we don't like this case, this law, we're not going to follow it, we're going to give you your variance.
Yes, Your Honor. We
court said
that no standard was applied by
the BZA. I understand your position.
Other sympathy
court said you followed the wrong standard, and so you can't impose a variance under these the way you did it, as opposed to the court saying, this lady can never get a variance. If the court had said the latter, and in my opinion, your argument would be stronger, but the court said you applied the wrong standard, this variance fails. The law changes, and you said it was an adjudicated matter, but we've said it's an administrative matter when the BZA determines. So again, help me understand why when the law changes, she can't come back and say, now I want a variance under the new law, and that wouldn't be bound by that 2009.
Your Honor, I'd make a couple of observations. One, it is administrative. We do not deny that it is administrative, but it is even in the administrative context, there can be adjudication.
Mm-hmm.
In the case of Board of Supervisors v. Southland, the court noted that it is administrative in nature, but not legislative. There it distinguished variances from special use permits.
Okay.
Because with special use permits, it noted that those were permissible. With a variance, a BZA must determine whether or not the applicant has met the requirements of the statute. We'd also note that there were several occasions that despite the appellant's complaint that her procedural rights had not been preserved, she has repeatedly failed to exercise those procedural rights.
Counsel, can I interrupt you 1 second?
Yes, sir.
It seems to me, and get back to this res judicata issue, it seems to me that the whole notion of a BZA that considers changing circumstances of neighborhoods and properties is really at odds with the whole idea of res judicata. Because what a BZA does is it tries to relieve unfairness, and you can come back as many times as you want to if you can keep alleging that the circumstances have changed. Now, the BZA could say, well, yes, they haven't changed enough, so we're not going to consider your argument. But isn't that what the BZA does? Is they look at changing circumstances of neighborhoods and properties and say, okay, well, you weren't entitled to a variance last time, but maybe now you are because things have changed.
There was no change that was suggested by the applicant, that is Ms. Bellamy in this instance, other than a change in the law. And this gets back to the notion that it's foreign in my understanding of Virginia law to suggest that a change in the law relieves the consequences of res judicata. This is not a circumstance.
Are you presuming res judicata applies? If there's no court order in the situation, the BZA says what they say, that they always have the authority to go back and change circumstances. Res judicata doesn't even attach. So that the whole of this turns on, Justice Powell's question to you, which is what exactly did the 2009 judicial order say or not say, and does it take what would otherwise be a BZA decision that res judicata would not attach to a judicial decision to which res judicata would attach, and change of law is not a change in circumstance. Do you follow me?
I think so.
Okay.
And, Your Honor, with respect to res judicata, I have not seen any case law indicating that it would not apply in an adjudicatory context for a BZA, which is, after all, adjudicating the right to a variance.
So you only have a minute left. Why would it apply to it applies to judicial orders. We know that, right?
Yes,
why
sir.
Does it apply to the 2009 order? Forget the BZA.
Because the circuit court determined in a solemn way that was not appealed, that a variance was not appropriate under these circumstances.
But did the circuit court determine there was a violation, or did the circuit court assume there was a violation without determining there was a violation?
The court, there had been two appeals taken, if we can go back to that period of time. There was a ruling by the zoning administrator that this law was in violation of the ordinances. That was appealed up to the BZA. At that same time, there was an application for a variance. The BZA actually made two determinations in 2008. One of those was to uphold the ruling of the zoning administrator and to find that indeed this law was unlawful. That was not appealed by Dr. Ms. Bellamy to the circuit court.
So therefore it wasn't before the circuit court? So therefore the judicial order predicate for res judicata gets kicked out?
Your Honor, what was before the circuit court was the city's appeal of the BZA's granting of a variance, because although the BZA in 2008 found that the law was unlawful, it made a separate determination that a variance would be granted. The city, and only the city, appealed that to the circuit court. That ruling of the circuit court was not appealed. The ruling in 2008 by the BZA finding that the law was unlawful was a thing decided. That was not appealed. And again, in the context of this case, the ruling of the BZA, which did indeed meet, did exactly what Ms. Bellamy sought in her writ for her petition for mandamus, and concluded that the matter was res judicata. That determination.
Chief, may I ask a question? Counsel, the court's letter of 2009, the only matters before the court concern whether or not the variance granted by the BZA were done so in accordance with existing law. Court said it was not. Variance is no good. Why couldn't the opposing parties have gone back to the BZA the very next day, even under this ruling, and said, we want a variance decided correctly, without being barred by res judicata,
Your Honor,
even under the court's order?
The court, as I recall, found that existing law did not justify the granting of a variance. So it reversed and denied the variance. If Ms. Bellamy at that time had gone back to the BZA, we would submit that it would be barred under the granting of the variance would be barred under the doctrine of res judicata. And the BZA could hardly be in a position where it was going to rule contrary to a finding of a circuit court.
Counsel, Justice Bibbs has a question for you.
Yes.
Counsel, early in your argument, you started to say that Ms. Lenny brought this hardship on herself.
Yes, sir.
And perhaps mercifully for me, you were interrupted at that point because I would have barked in self-righteous indignation. And now I can ask my question a little bit more, shall we say, with a little bit more less passion.
Okay,
Jim. There would have been no hardship if a city official had told her the correct position right from the get-go, right?
We would submit that is not necessarily the case, Your Honor. That the record reflects that there was a building official, not the zoning administrator, who had gone out and reviewed the wall, that before the wall was completed, that is, before the
when it was nearly complete.
I think that is correct, Judge.
So,
I think that
so
is correct.
A citizen trying to do the right thing went to someone who was cloaked with the authority of the locality and said, may I do this? And that individual, cloaked with the authority of the locality, came to her property, looked it over, and said, yep, I'm giving you thumbs up. And they went out and built the wall, and only after it was nearly complete did the city say, our bad.
Your Honor, we would submit that a building official in the building office does not have the authority to waive the requirements of the zoning ordinance, which is public.
He never told her that, though, did he?
Your Honor, we... No.
The answer is no.
My question is answered.
Under the circumstances, the court has extended your time by almost
yes,
5 minutes. Counsel, if you feel it necessary, after having heard all of these questions, we'll grant you another 30 seconds as well.
I'm afraid to accept the court's invitation.
The court will be at recess until 9 o'clock
tomorrow. All right.